Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. What a beautiful acclamation we have in the responsorial psalm today. And as we're in this Easter season, these 50 days of joy, this refrain, this response should be the constant cry of our heart. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. And so maybe we can examine ourselves. Is this true for me? Am I exclaiming the joy of the Lord? Am I crying out to the world about the great glories of God and the new life we have in Christ because of the death and resurrection? Is my life one marked by joy? This is what happened in the first reading of the Acts of the Apostles. It began by telling us that there was a severe persecution of the church. And if we were listening yesterday, we know the last couple of days that Stephen, one of those first deacons, the first martyr, was executed for proclaiming the truth. And this was what happened because of his martyrdom, because he was murdered by the leaders in Jerusalem. A severe persecution broke out and everyone was scattered. Not necessarily the idea we would have for a story to end in joy, the persecution and the dispersing of the community. And this is a great insight into the mind, into the will, the providence of God. That things don't always go the way that we had planned or the way that we had hoped, or even the way that we would write the story if we were in charge. But because of the martyrdom, the murder of Stephen, that then the early church was spread out to distant lands, God used that to bring the saving message of Jesus Christ to the people who weren't necessarily hearing it in those first days, those early weeks. So God used this horrendous event of the murder of Stephen as a means, as an avenue of spreading the message of Jesus. And so Philip, another one of these early deacons, went to Samaria. And if we know our church history, the Samaritans and the Jews were not friends. They despised one another. But it was to this city that the Spirit moved Philip to go and proclaim the truth. And because he was preaching the truth of Jesus Christ and allowing the power of the Spirit to motivate him, there was great joy in the city. Great joy in the city because the name of Jesus was being preached. What a wonderful witness and what a wonderful example for each one of us that while there is great persecution and scattering, of course not in reality, but there's great trouble in the world today for some people, and some people are seeking to see the negative, seeking to see all the bad things, coming with conspiracy theories and whatever else, allowing their hearts and their minds to be distracted from the saving message of Jesus Christ, the true source of joy in our lives. These apostles, these disciples, these early followers of Christ were not focused on themselves, but were moved to spread the message of Jesus to the other people. This is the will of God for each one of us. This will of God that Jesus spoke about in the gospel as we continue in the bread of life discourse, as he continues to reveal ever so slowly the truth of the Holy Eucharist, that he repeats himself over and over again about what's taking place in the Holy Eucharist. Like a good teacher who has to repeat the lesson over and over again, while sometimes we can easily get bored and frustrated when the teacher repeats things over and over again. Jesus, the good teacher, the best teacher, gives us this model. Because sometimes we can understand maybe the words that are being said, but the depth of the meaning is easy for us to miss sometimes. Especially in our day today, when things are so fast, there's so much information out there, that sometimes we need to pause and slow down and allow Jesus to repeat things, to really let that seed of truth penetrate into the soil of our heart. Because it's in the heart where joy is truly found. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas says that if we don't have joy in our life, then we will seek carnal pleasures, passing pleasures of the flesh, these simple responses to stimuli around us, whether from food or sex or drinks or drugs or misuse of technology. We will seek these passing pleasures because we are made for joy. And this is why the whole earth should be crying out the joy of new life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The will of God for each one of us is to come to know the Father, to know Jesus Christ, and then to spread that good news to everyone. The will of the world, the will of the evil one, the enemy of our souls, is to keep ourselves focused on ourselves, to keep ourselves focused on what is good for me, what's to my best advantage. And to die to that can be intimidating and scary. And in a sense, it is a death. And then since there is a little hesitancy on our part to truly enter into the fullness of this relationship with Christ. But just like the natural things on earth that are really worth it, it requires effort. The spiritual life is the same way. The spiritual life requires an effort of dying to ourself, by putting ourself last and allowing the other people in our lives to go first, allowing Christ to have first place in our life. Yes, each one of us is made for happiness, desires, pleasure, but it will only truly be found in the person of Jesus Christ. We pray for this grace, this power, this revelation to persevere through any persecution, any separation, anything that seems to be negative. We pray for the grace to persevere through it, knowing that the will of God is our sanctification and that's our true joy. Saint Catherine of Siena, this wonderful early saint in the 1300s, a virgin and doctor of the church, a laywoman, who has become one of the greatest saints. What a great model for us. At a very early age, maybe 5 or 6 years old, she had an encounter, a mystical encounter with Jesus, and decided to surrender her life to him at that moment. And so for the young people who may be watching today, never think it's too early for you. Listen to those desires of your heart for greatness and for joy that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Pray to St. Catherine of Siena for our parents and our teachers. Use her as an example for our young people. That we don't have to wait to a certain point before we dedicate our life to Jesus. She started at a very early age. And she did great things. Great things for the church. Great things for her community, for the political world, because of her mystical encounter, her assurance that Christ was all she ever needed. Christ was a source of her joy. You know, one of the things that was told to St. Catherine of Siena that might be a good little nugget for us to keep. At one point, her spiritual director told her to build a cell within her heart. You know, a cell is the rooms in the monastery where the monks and the nuns live. It's their bedroom, their cell. She couldn't go to the chapel all the time. She had other things going on. So her director said, build a cell within your heart and retire there to pray. So while we're still separated from the celebration of the Mass and the church is open sometime but not all the time, and while we all are not receiving the Holy Eucharist, some of us feel scattered, feel dispersed. Let's take this advice that St. Catherine of Siena received to build a cell within our heart and retire there to pray. And in that cell, as we encounter the life-saving message of Jesus Christ, the truth of who he is, let us go and share that message with the world. Share the joy. And like we sang or we said in response to our psalm, let this be true for each one of us. So that as we go forward, that whole earth will cry out to God with joy. Amen.